In an age of treachery and peril, a young thief may be the prophesied savior or the betrayer of the world. Fortress Draconis by Michael A. Stackpole. A quarter century previous, an elven seer spoke the Norrington prophecy. A Norrington to lead them, immortal, washed in fire, victorious from sea to ice. Power of the north he will shatter, the scourge he will kill. Then Vorquellen will redeem. For 25 years, the world has awaited a hero, and now the world's fate rests in the hands of a nimble-fingered young thief.
Fortress Draconis, Chapter 5. Will wasn't quite certain why Resolute didn't demand he accompany the stable boy to take care of their horses, but he welcomed the relief from his chores. He grabbed his rolled blanket and the flaccid saddlebags that carried his threadbare change of clothes, then followed the other two into the hare and hutch. After so long on the road, back to normal will be good. But the village tavern, he discovered upon entry, escaped normal by leagues. It certainly had the look of a normal tavern, with entry through a sheltered door, then steps down into the common room. One short wall of the rectangular building stood close by on the right, with a set of stairs marking the far right corner and leading up to the next floor. Huddled beneath the stairs lay a bar and a doorway through which the long wall led out to the kitchen in the back. It had a roof and a hearth, half walls and a dirt floor. The common room opened to the left with a big hearth and roaring fire on the left wall. Benches took up those corners, with some long tables and other round ones filling in the main space. Will could feel the fire's heat from the doorway and welcomed it, though the fire did seem a bit big for a summer's evening. Resolute hung his cloak on the pegs by the door, dropping his bag beneath it, then relieved Crow of his burdens and likewise disposed of them. The low hum of conversation dipped for a moment, then picked up with some intensity. Will felt himself tensing, for in the dim, the Vorquelf showing himself in a human haunt would have caused an immediate fight. The added energy drained quickly from the conversation, but Will didn't get a sense of fear holding the people at bay. As he tried to figure out what was at work, he began to notice other things, such as the floor being clean and well kept, with new boards laid down to replace old and rotted ones. As for the barkeeper, his clothes had clearly been laundered, and recently. The clientele didn't seem drunk, and he heard no catcalls as the young woman wove her way between tables to deliver wooden tankards of frothy ale. He finally hit upon it. People were smiling, none of them hooding their eyes or watching their fellows for weakness. The taverns he'd known were wolves' dens. Here they're sheep, farmers, herders, working for a living, taking time here to share stories. It sent a shiver down his spine. Crow, leaning his right flank against the bar, waved his left hand toward Will and Resolute. We were told, my companion nephew and I, that you might have a room available here for a night's lodging. The tavern keeper, a burly man with a ring of black hair running around his head, ran a hand back over unshaved jowls. Well, the last room, it was taken by that gentleman and his niece, but they've not paid yet. Oi, you! He flicked a stained dish rag toward the two people seated at the round table. An older man turned toward the bar, raising his eyebrow, but Crow reached out and took hold of the barman's wrist. That's all right. You'd be having space on the floor here, near the fire? The barman nodded. Plenty of room there, yes. Silver ahead, and that gets you ale tonight and porridge in the morning. Done, then. Crow went to open his pouch, but the barman shook his head. We'll settle up before you bed down. You'll be wanting some stew, won't you? And bread and some cheese? Crow nodded. Please. Have it ready in a bit. Crow smiled at his companions. There we are, set for the night. Will nodded, barely hearing Crow. He looked around the room, eyeing each person in there. He quickly sorted Prosper from poor, which he found easy given most of the farmers wore not so much as a ring. Prosperous had coin pouches, but most were empty as his saddlebags. Having seen how trusting the barman was in dealing with Crow, Will assumed most of the people were drinking on credit, and that a fair amount of debt was paid off in stew-making, cheese, and flour. Being bumped in the back by Resolute jolted Will from his thoughts and propelled him in Crow's wake. They threaded their way over to a circular table near the fire. The old man, who wore a blue cloak that had seen better days, nodded a welcome to them and waved them over to the open chairs. Crow thanked him. I'm Crow. This is my nephew, Will, and my friend, Resolute. The man half rose from his chair and shook Crow's hand, then nodded to Will and Resolute. I am Distalus, and this is my niece, Sephi. We're on our way to Yislin, where she'll be apprenticing to a weaver. Will nipped around past Crow and took the seat next to Seffy. "I'm Will." The girl blushed. "Seffy." Had she been standing, she would have towered over him, and seated, she still appeared taller, but Will didn't mind. Her raven hair fell to mid-back, hazel eyes sparkled with reflective firelight, set in a pretty face marred only by a tiny scar above her right eye. Distalus raised his mug in Crow's direction. "That was good of you, sir, not to evict us." Crow shrugged easily. "We've been on the road, so warm will do for us. You've got a long journey ahead, and few places will be this nice." Will let his saddlebag slip to the floor and dumped his cloak on top of them. "Have you been to the city before, Seffy?" She shook her head and gave him a little smile. "My uncle says it is a wonderful place and that I will love it." She wrapped her small hands around a barrel of her mug. "I can hardly wait." The young thief smiled and was about to launch into a story of the city when Crow elbowed him. He turned to look at his older companion. "What?" "You've better things to be doing, like helping the barkeep bring us our stew." Crow glanced at Distalus. "More ale for you, as long as Will is going to be fetching it?" "Well, now, very kind, sir, very kind. Traveling is a dry business, and Master Julian's ale is good." Crow flicked two fingers toward the barman. "Two more ales, please, for our friends. Will, go." Will nodded, then flashed Seffy a quick smile. He got up and moved around her chair, daring to let the fingers of his left hand brush her shoulder. In paying more attention to her than where he'd tossed his cloak, he tripped and fell heavily against Distalus, catching himself before smashing his slowly healing knee into the floor. "Beg pardon, sir." Will pulled himself up and straightened his shirt, then made his way to the bar. He twisted his hips left and right, nipping through the narrows of chairs pushed back from tables. He made his journey a display of agility, hoping to dispel the image his fall had left in Seffy's mind. Julian looked at him with a critical eye. "You be spilling any of this, and you might as well eat it off the floor, for you're paying for it."
"I will be careful."
"Be double that, lad." Julian hefted a tray of ale mugs, leaving another with stew bowls and bread for Will. The youth trailed after the barman, occasionally peeking out from behind his girth to see if Seffy was watching him. She was, and giggled. Will cut around Julian and served Resolute first, then Crow and himself last. He put his bowl down where he'd have to scoot his chair closer to her to eat it, and put the bread in the middle of the table. Julian accepted the tray from him, then trapped both of them beneath his right arm. He counted on his fingers. "Well, now, I'm making that 6 silvers you're owing me, sir. And you, sir, for the girl and you, lodging and ale, that's 3 silvers. Distalus's hand went to his belt. Then he blinked and looked up. "My purse seems to be gone." Resolute's silver eyes narrowed. "Give it back, boy." Will, who had a spoonful of stew halfway between bowl and eaten, froze. "I didn't take it." "Don't lie, boy." Verquell's voice took on a chill. "I won't have it." The spoon returned to the bowl, and Will slowly stood. He deliberately opened his hands and held them out away from his sides. "Search me. I didn't take anything." Distalus shook his head. "I'm sure the boy didn't. As my niece will agree, I get forgetful. I probably just left my bag in the room." Crow laid a hand on Resolute's forearm, then fished a gold coin from the pouch on his belt. The coin rang solid as he flicked it with his thumb into the air. Julian caught it easily, then held it at arm's length to study it on both sides. "New minted, Oriosa." The man snapped the coin down on the table, leaving the mass profile of King Scrainwood easily visible. From a pocket in his apron, he pulled a short metal rod with a knob at one end and a point on the other. He pressed the small part on Scrainwood's eye and leaned hard on the knob. The rod gouged the eye, disfiguring the face. Julian smiled, then slipped the coin and punch back into his apron pocket. "There, that'll fix him. Enjoy your food. You've more coming if you want, or a silver yet." "Thank you." Crow nodded to him. "You're stabling our horses as well, so we will owe you more." With a nod, the barman retreated. Then Distalus raised his new mug of ale. "I'll pay you back. I have the silver in my bags. I'm not worried." Will frowned. In his life, he'd not seen that many gold coins, and he'd held fewer, and not for very long. A few he'd seen had the eyes gouged or crossed on the face, but he never knew why. What he did to that coin, why? Distalus's eyes brightened. Who would have thought everyone knew the tale of how Scrainwood became a king and where his allegiances lie? The man raised his voice a bit, drawing attention from the tables around him, and suddenly sounding more like a storyteller than, "I don't know what he is." The man quaffed a bit of ale, then wiped his mouth with the back of his hand. "Maybe you know, lad, maybe you don't. But Scrainwood of Oriosa joined good King Augustus in the war against Catrine a quarter century ago. Some say Scrainwood fought, others say he never fought. Some say not too many died to protect him, and others that he cowered, but none deny he was there at Fortress Draconis. And there it was he stayed while King Augustus routed an Orellani army in O'Cronnell, and he was there when the coward brought news of the heroes sent to destroy Catrine. A quiet had fallen over the common room, with only the distant hiss and snap of the fire, or an occasional soft belch heard around Distalus's words. The man's eyes glowed, and he smiled, looking at his listeners, nodding and smiling. Whatever he was, it included being a storyteller, and Will didn't mind that his question started the story. He figured he'd not been alone in not knowing, and even if he was, the story was a good one to hear, and others were enjoying it. Well, now, then, it was 15 years ago, a decade past the loss of our heroes and Augustus winning a bride, that the first of the new Solan Ciri came south. Word had come, filtered down through the Ghost March, in the mouths of renegades who pledged themselves to Catrine, that her 9 new Dark Lancers could not be stopped. They gave a date and a place and a target. Queen Lanavet of Oriosa would die in her castle in Moreto. Come that day, all dark and cold, cold as winter, wet as the fall, the clouds weeping, wind keening, mourning her while she still breathed. Troops guarded the castle, ringed it with steel. Heroes and those who wished to be heroes came to keep her safe. Come the appointed hour, and they saw naught but lightning. They thought themselves safe then. Yet, as they hooted and hollered and cheered and rejoiced, guess what they saw, lad, guess. Will, caught up in the story, shook his head. I don't know. They saw a terrible thing, lad, the most horrible thing they'd ever seen. Distalus raised a hand, shaping a tall tower in air. Lightning, it struck the tallest tower, scattering men, spilling them from battlements, to be dashed to red pieces in the courtyard below. In its wake stood a fiery horse with long dragon's wings, and on it a specter with a long flowing cape. It appeared to be feathered, but each feather was a tongue of flame. He hoisted above him a shrouded body and cast it down. It bounced from the crenels and catwalks, unwrapping as it went. Queen Lanavet's body, broken and rent, headless, lay before her keep. Distalus's voice lowered. His telling paused for a moment as he drank. Then he peered into the depths of his ale and continued. The guards and the heroes, they rushed into the castle, opening the grand hall. They found but one man there, Scrainwood, her son. He stood dripping in a puddle of his own piss. In his hands he held his mother's severed head, staring at it as she stared at him. He didn't speak, but just trembled, and someone closed her eyes, and that broke the spell. He collapsed, and when he regained his senses a week later, his hair had gone white. Since that day, 2 things are true of Oriosa. The first is that their last hero, Lee Norrington, went north to kill his own father, the Solan Ciri who had slain the queen. That hero, though, chose blood over nation. His father had become Nefere Kesh, and he was turned to be Nefere Leish, the 10th of the new Solan Ciri. As they once led an army against Catrine, now, father and son, they prepared to lead an army against us. A bit of a hubbub began, but Distalus merely lifted a hand and it quieted. The other thing, lad, is that Scrainwood fears the Solan Ciri who put him on the throne so much that he dare not oppose them. His mother had steeled her nation for another war, but he has let her rust. Everyone knows Oriosa is a safe haven for Orellani scouts, and that foul magics let Scrainwood see through the coins bearing his face, so we blind them to rob him of this sight and deprive Catrine of her spine. Distalus punctuated his story with a gulp of ale. Others did the same. Then calls came for refills, which kept Julian very busy. The old man glanced over at Crow. You knew the tale, yes? Crow nodded slowly. But the telling, that was good. The part about urine, your embellishment, or... The storyteller licked his lips. Had the story from a soldier who was there. Resolute tore a hunk off the small loaf of bread. This is how you make your living, then, telling stories? I do a little of everything, but now I'm taking my niece to the city. Might stay here a bit, though. It depends, I guess. Distalus jerked his head toward Julian. If he makes me an offer, we might stay. I have a number of thirsty tales. Tonight was just a taste. The Vorquelf nodded. And people pay to listen to tales of Catrine? Distalus shrugged. She's very popular. She's the villain of 1,000 stories, each worse than the last. Everyone fears her, of course. Fears her coming to a place like Stalin to destroy it. Some folks assume it's plain greed. Others think she has a more sinister motivation. To me it doesn't matter. All answers are right. I have no doubt she wants to lay waste to the Southlands. Why she wants to do it is not my concern. Will frowned. But if you knew, why couldn't you stop her? The old man canted his head for a moment, then nodded. An interesting observation, young man. I suspect we shall never know her motivation, but perhaps a tale hinting at it might be very popular indeed. I shall think on it, thank you. With that, Distelus stood and held his hand out for Seffi. Come, child, we shall retire early so the crowd will thin and our friends can sleep. Good evening to you. Sleep well. Will frowned as the girl left, but then she turned back toward him and gave him a little finger wave that Distelus could not see. This brightened his heart and put a smile on his face. A smile so broad, even the landing of Resolute's hands on his shoulders couldn't kill it. The Vorquelf had used the distraction Seffi supplied to slip from his chair and come up behind Will. The youth started to rise, and Resolute spun him around. Will's chair clattered to the ground, and he fell forward against the Vorquelf for a second. Then Resolute hoisted him up from the floor by his upper arms. Where did you put his money? Will shook his head. I didn't steal it. Resolute shook him once hard. You did. You took it when you tripped. No, I didn't. The youth's nostrils flared. I tripped. I truly tripped. And I caught myself on him. I didn't take his money. It was a clumsy attempt at theft that anyone could have seen through, boy. Will kept his voice low, but an edge slid into it. I'm much better than that, Resolute. A regular Azure Spider, are you, boy? Not yet, but I am good. Will flipped his right wrist, and a pouch heavy with coins clunked down in the middle of the table. I'm that good. Vorquelf dropped him, then felt his own belt. Just now? You took that from me just now? Will nodded as he appropriated Seffi's chair. Yes, and I didn't take Distelus's coin because he didn't have any. Resolute snatched his purse from the table and retied it to his belt. The fact that you know that, though, means you would have taken it. Will blinked. If a heart crossed your trail, you'd shoot it. Resolute's hands curled down in a fist. If you cannot understand the difference, boy. Crow turned in his chair and leaned forward, resting his elbows on his knees. The difference is this, Will. Resolute would shoot the heart, but only if he needed the food. You didn't need the money. You don't need to steal. But that's what I do. Will shrugged. I'm a thief. Not anymore, Will. Crow poked a finger against his breastbone, spearing the pouch in which lay the leaf. The theft of that ended your old life. You're meant for better now.
Fortress Draconis is copyright 2001 by Michael A. Stackpole and is read by the author. To learn more about him and his work, please visit his website at www.stormwolf.com. This book is available from fine booksellers worldwide. This podcast was produced by Jamie Jordan and is hosted by CatAlley.com. The theme music is an original composition by Nuada and is used with permission. The podcast is copyright 2007 by Michael A. Stackpole. Please join us again for the next exciting chapter of Fortress Draconis.